Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to look at a surprise visit. How many of you like surprises? Some of you. Okay. How many of you like surprise visitors? Not as many hands went up. Okay. You know, God does that. He gives us surprise visits. Just when we don't really expect it, He shows up. I want you to think for just a minute. When's the last time that you had a surprise visit from God? And I'm not saying that you had to hear His voice or experience something supernatural. I'm just saying, when's the last time you had one of those aha moments where you're like, whoa, God really surprised me? Whether it was a sunset, a person, a note, a phone call. You know, God really surprised me. Maybe your response to something, you got through it really, really well, and you went, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here with me. Think about it. When's the last time you had a surprise visit from God? Because they happen a lot more than we realize. And today we're going to talk about staying in tune with God so that we realize it, so that we can be encouraged by those surprise visits. And sometimes those surprise visits also come our way to get our attention. God shows up every once in a while just to get our attention. You see, most of us are not hardened in evil. Most of us. Most people are not hardened in evil. Most people are just a Jacob. And you're like, well, what are you talking about? Is my microphone on? I think it is. Yep, I'm on. Yeah. Anyway, most people, okay, are just like Jacob. And what am I trying to say here? Okay, Jacob, if you remember in the Old Testament, he was named Jacob, and the word, his name actually means trickster or supplanter. And Jacob spent a good share of his life tricking his way into and out of things with success, but it had its consequences. It had its consequences. You see, God has a plan for us, and that plan is to follow Him closely. But when we go rogue, when we go Jacob on Him, okay, then God's going to give us a surprise visit. Now let's think about Jacob, for example. He tricked his brother out of his inheritance for a bowl of soup, and then he tricked his father into giving him the blessing of the firstborn, okay? And then he went and, you know, he got married, and he kind of tricked his way through getting his herds and everything with his father-in-law Laban. And then when he realized that Laban probably was somewhat of a trickster himself, then Jacob snuck off and Laban came to catch him, and then they settled things. And we find Jacob at this place in his life where he's just pretty much out of tricks. And he's going home. He's going home. He's returning to where his brother lives. And he knows that he's going to have to face the music. And his brother has kind of threatened him. In fact, his brother has more than kind of threatened him. His brother pretty much told him he was going to take his life, and that's why he took off running in the first place. So here he is with all of his flocks and all of his kids and his wives and everything. His name is Jacob, and he's going back home. And don't you think that Jacob the trickster is probably trying to figure out, how can I appease my brother? How can I do this? In fact, he sets it all up to where all of his wives and flocks, they go off in groups and groups and groups, and you know, basically to give his brother gifts and to appease his brother. And once he sends everybody off, sends his wife and his children and his flocks ahead of him, just like a warrior would. I mean, you know, think about this. This guy, he's just, he is really a supplanter. He's really trying to trick. He would sell out his family and his kids, his wives and his kids, before he would come to the place where he realized that he's being a trickster. He is trying to trick God. He's trying to trick people. He's done all of this. And so he finds himself, he sends everybody off, and he finds himself alone with himself. Nobody's around. He's out in the middle of nowhere. Literally, out in the middle of nowhere. You can't see the end of the world from there, okay? But there's a sign that says if you go two more steps, you can see the end of the world from here, right? He is out in the middle of nowhere. And so we go to Genesis 22, and we read 22 through 28, and we find out what happens when Jacob the supplanter, who basically is all by himself, he's basically tricked everybody and used everybody in his life to try to get ahead, okay? And he's all by himself, and it says that that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. And after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked him, "What's your name?" And Jacob, he answered. In the Hebrew, it means supplanter, it means trickster. It means someone who basically undermines things and tweaks things so they can make them happen. And then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, the trickster, the supplanter. Your name will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." You see, when we're acting like Jacob, whether we know we're acting like him or not, because Jacob did not know he was acting like Jacob. That was Jacob's natural, you know, way of things. But when we are being a Jacob, whether we know it or not, okay, you're wrestling with God. And it gets kind of tiring. And it gets kind of tiring for God. You'll notice that Jacob, he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to let go. He wasn't going to do it. He said, "Nope, I'm not going to." And the man wrestled with him until daybreak. And then, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, when God saw that he could not change Jacob's mind just by wrestling with him like we all do, God reached and he touched him. And he injured him. Whoa! A lot of people don't like to hear that God is going to reach down and yeah, God's going to take us, he's going to smack us alongside of the head once in a while. Because God loves us. And God did something to Jacob that Jacob remembered for the rest of his life. He had a hip that wasn't quite right. It was wrenched. It was dislocated. Have you ever had a dislocated limb? The only thing that hurts worse than that is when they put it back. Okay? And he dislocated that, and Jacob still said, "I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me." You see, Jacob was still holding on. He didn't realize that he was wrestling with God, but he was still holding on. He was still holding on to the past. He was still holding on to that. You see, God nudges us to do this or to go this way or do that way, but when we do an end run, and when we trick our way past God or try to, eventually, God will get you alone and touch you. You know, I like that one song, "Oh, he touched me. Yes, he touched me." Most of us think it's a hug. But you know, once in a while, God's got to touch us like he touched Jacob. And if we struggle with him, and if we wrestle with him, it's eventually going to hurt. But the wonderful thing about it is it changes us. It changes us. Look at verse 25, 4 and 25. It says, "So Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled until daybreak. But when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man." That touch changed Jacob. That was the beginning of the change right there. Jacob realized, even if I don't let go of this guy, even if I don't let go of it, he has the power over my life. I think that Jacob realized that he was in dire, dire danger. For one thing, he hadn't realized that it was God yet. He just thought that some guy came up on him in the night, not a safe place to be all by yourself, And then he realized that this guy was so powerful, all he had to do was touch his hip and it was dislocated. God was starting to get Jacob's attention at this point. God was starting to say, I want to change you, Jacob. And he did from that point. First of all, he changed him physically. Sometimes God's got to get a hold of us physically, doesn't he? Or mentally. Or financially. And when God starts doing these things, what happens is we start paying attention. We realize that we're in danger. And then when we come to realize that at this point in our life, once we realize how dangerous it is to wrestle with God, at this point in our life, we hold on to God for everything we're worth. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Numerous occasions, I've been there where I realized, okay, I'm outside of the will of God. I am doing things that God would not approve of. I am being a person that God would not approve of. One of the biggest things that used to irritate me when I was growing up in the church was when people would be one way on Sunday and then the rest of the week you'd meet them and they were a totally different person. And you want to know something? That's the people that God touches. And when we start doing that, and maybe it's not even outward, maybe it's just our attitude, maybe it's just a change of heart, maybe it's a hardness, maybe it's something, but God says, okay, it's time to touch this guy, and he touches us. And from that point on, when we realize in how much danger, we hold on to God for everything that we're worth. And I don't know about you, but when I have come to that point in my life, holding on to God, you know the next thing that I say? I said, I will not let go of you unless you bless me. God, I'm not letting go of you for anything unless you bless me. I remember a life-changing prayer was going to change my life for 45 years, and I knew it. And I knew that my life could be misery for 45 years. And I said, God, I don't deserve to go there, but I do deserve to go there because I was being a trickster. I was not following your will. So Lord, whatever you have, but I am not going to let go of you, and I want a blessing no matter what happens to me. No matter what happens in my life, I'm not letting go, and I want a blessing. And God did give a blessing. God always gives a blessing if we hold on tight enough and long enough. You see, if we ask him for change, it'll happen. We might end up limping the rest of our life, but it'll happen. Now, when God changes us, and we've all had these moments, when God changes us, we then need to stay in that change. We can't go backwards, okay? Because we're just going to have more regrets. But when God touches us and he says, okay, today I've touched you, we stay in that change. We don't look back. Whatever we have in this day, we take that as a blessing from God and we work forward to make it better. We work forward to make the lives of people around us better. Staying in that change and healing is our choice. It's our choice. So many times people say, well, God changed me, and then they just go on and they get one degree off, and pretty soon down the road, a couple of years, they're 180 degrees off, right? It is our responsibility to stay in that change. I want to go to Genesis 32:28. I want to read it to you in the King James Version because it's a lot clearer about how and why we stay in that change, okay? Genesis 32:28 says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You see, when God touches us in the power of Christ, we are no longer a trickster. We're no longer that person that we were yesterday. We are now, what does it say there? We are a prince that has power with God. As long as we're in Christ, we have power with God. The minute we step out of it, then it's going to be touch time. And that's kind of like that old rap song, Hammer Time. You know? And we need to stay there. In Christ, we are no longer tricksters. We're no longer Jacobs. We are Israel. You know what that name means? When he gave Jacob this name, it means he will rule. He will rule. He will rule in God's power. And Israel became a great nation. And from Israel, Jesus Christ's descendancy came. And Israel changed. Oh, he had a little slips. You read the story, and he had a little slips along the way. But he was nothing like the old Jacob. He was nothing like the old Jacob. See, we must prevail. It says that. It says that you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Well, it doesn't mean that you have prevailed against God. And it doesn't mean that you have prevailed against men. Okay? When we look at the context of this sentence, and when we look at the word prevailed in the Hebrew, what it means is this, is you can. In fact, this is what the word prevail means. It says you can or could prevail as long as you stay under the Israel blessing. Because in this sentence, God gives him the Israel blessing, the power in God blessing. You will rule in my power, but you got to stay under my authority. You got to stay. And when we stay under the authority of Christ and in the authority of Christ, see, the clause says here, prevail doesn't say, oh, it's a done deal. You name it and claim it. Once saved, always saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you can or could, but you got to stay under the authority of God and under the protection and under the blessing of God. It says you can or could prevail as long as you stay under the Israel blessing. Once you start being a Jacob, you're on your own and you're wrestling with God all over again. And I tell you what, I think walking with one dislocated shoulder or hip is enough. You know, we don't need to be walking through life like, yeah, yeah. You know, and sometimes some of us are mentally and spiritually walking like that. You know, somebody says something, what? You know, who, ha, who? God says, whoa, walk under the Israel blessing. Walk under the Israel blessing. God was saying to Jacob, and he is saying to us today, he's saying to the church, he's saying to the whole world, right now, you need to hold on to me. And you need to want my blessing. I don't know about you, but I want his blessing more than ever. More than ever. I'm seeing prophetic stuff. It's scary and exciting all at the same time. We are in a different time frame than we were a year ago. God's moving. And I want to hold on to God, and I want that blessing. I want that power to prevail. I want that Israel blessing. God says, right now, if you hold on to me, you'll get that. You'll have that. But if you turn away from me, God says, we start wrestling all over again. I don't know if I want to spend much time wrestling with God anymore. I just want to hold on to him. So this week, as you know, I'm a pastor teacher. This week, I'm giving you another assignment. I hope you guys are praying for people. I hope that you are being the multiplier that we've talked about the last couple of weeks. But this week, I want you to do something. In your alone time, just like Jacob, get yourself alone and say, God, where am I wrestling with you? Because we all are. If you think you're not wrestling with God right now, the Word says that if you think you're without sin, you are a liar. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Word of God's powerful. And God is getting more powerful and more truthful and more in people's faces than he ever has in love. And the thing is we all have something we're wrestling with. We all have something that we just need to say, okay, God, I am so tired of this. I'm going to hold on to you for all I'm worth, and I want you to bless me. So I want you to ask him what you're wrestling with. And then secondly, I want you to hold on to him even if it hurts. Read the story. Oh, God, why did you do that? Why did you touch my hip? Oh, God, why did you touch my emotions? Oh, God, why did you touch, you know, my relationships? Oh, God, why did you touch my conscience? Hold on to God for all you have and for all your worth. And God will, because He promises, He will, when we hold on to Him, He will give us that blessing, that victory. And you want to know something? I'll let you in on a little secret. Usually the victory isn't that we overcome what somebody is doing or who somebody is. Usually the victory, about 99% of the time, the victory is that we overcome something that we are. Something that we are. One of the most crucial victories that I had, I came to the realization that I was really good at doing some things, but I was a terrible person. A terrible person. A terrible husband. A terrible father. A terrible son. A terrible friend. In fact, I was at a place in my life I had no friends. And God said, do you want to continue down this path? Or do you want to hold on to me? And do you want to face who you are and change your future and your destiny forever? I'm glad I held on. And I still limp. But I'm glad I held on. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much. And Lord, we just don't want to wrestle with you anymore. We want to hold on to you for all we're worth. So Father, I pray that this week and in our times alone and in our times in the Word, Father, convict us and show us how we can be more Christ-like, how we can change, how we can make a difference, Lord, in who we are, in who you are in us. And Lord, we give you the authority over each and every one of us. Father, I pray right now that as we're praying, that people who are listening to this will just submit to your authority, Lord, and let you touch them. And I pray, Lord, that we will hold on to you for all we're worth, so that we can get through who we are or what we're doing or where we're wrestling. And Father, we can get on the other side and see the blessing. That's our prayer, Lord. With all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our spirit, Lord, all of our mind, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.